today. Looks like we're a little bit off schedule here with the computer. We're reading from text 17 through text 21. We'll repeat text 20 and 21, so I'll just start with 17. From chapter 18, canto 9. Evam vidhai suparushai shiptavacharya sutam satim charmista prakshipat kupe vasyaschadaya manyuna. Using such unkind words, Sarmista rebuked Devyani, the daughter of Sukracharya. In anger, she took away Devyani's garments and threw Devyani into a well. Pretty heavy, huh? I guess ladies can get like that, I don't know. I'm sure the men have their faults as well. Tasyam gatayam svagriham yayatir mrigayam charan prapto yaduchaya kupe jalarti tam dadarshaha. After throwing Devyani into the well, Shamista went home. Meanwhile, King Yayati, while engaged in a hunting excursion, went to the well to drink water and by chance saw Devyani. Datva swam utaram vashas tasya raja vivashase grihitva praninya panim ujaradaya para. Seeing Devyani naked in the well, King Ayati immediately gave her his upper cloth. Being very kind to her, he caught her hand with his own hand and lifted her out. Very chivalrous, he's acting like a gentleman. Okay, text 20 and 21, we'll repeat these. Tambiram ahoshashnasi. Tambiram ahoshashnasi. Brahma nirbaraya gira. Prema nirbaraya gira. Rajam stvaya grihito me. Rajam stvaya grihito me. Bani para puranjaya. Bani para puranjaya. Asta graho paro mabut. Asta graho paro mabut. Grihitayas tvaya hime. Grihitayas tvaya hime. Esha isha kito vira. Esha isha kito vira. Sambando no naparusha. Sambando no naparusha. Tambiram ahoshnasi. Brahma nirbaraya gira. Rajam stvaya grihito me. Pani para puranjaya. Asta graho paro mabut. Grihitaya stvaya hime. Esha isha kito vira. Sambando no na parusha. Tambiram ahoshnasi. Brahma nirbaraya gira. Ajams dvaya vihito me. Bani para puranjaya. Hastagraho paro mabud. Grihitayas dvaya hime. Esha isha kito vira. Sambandho no na parusha. Esha kito vira Nambanda na parapra Amira maushnasi Nirani ahaya Ajam tvavi kome Mani paraparanjayam Hastato Parodnabhut Gitaya Dvaya Hime Esha Isha Kito Vira Sambandho Nauna Parusha. Ladies, Vema Nirbharaya Gya Parambhavitome Ani Paraparanjaya Hastagaro Paromabhut Gitayas Dvayahime Vema Nishamhito Vira Sambandho nana prasha Kito vira Sambandho na parushya Tam unto him Viram Yayati Aha said Aushnasi the daughter of Ushana Kavi Sukracharya Prema Nirbharaya, saturated with love and kindness, Gira, by such words, Rajan, O King, Dvaya, by you, Grihita, accepted, Me, my, Pani, hand, Paraparanjaya, the conqueror of the kingdoms of others. Astagraha, he who accepted my hand. Apara, another. Ma, may not. Bhut, become. Grihitaya, accepted. Dvaya, by you. He, indeed, may of me. Asha, this. Ishakita, arranged by providence. Vira, O great hero. Sambandha, relationship. Na, hour. Na, not. Parusha, anything man-made. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. With words saturated with love and affection, Devayani said to King Yayati, O great hero, O king, conqueror of the cities of your enemies, by accepting my hand, you have accepted me as your married wife. Let me not be touched by others, for our relationship as husband and wife has been made possible by providence, not by any human being. Please repeat. With words saturated with love and affection, Devayani said to King Yayati, O great hero, O king, conqueror of the cities of your enemies, by accepting my hand, you have accepted me as your married wife. Let me not be touched by others, for our relationship as husband and wife has been made possible by providence, not by any human being. Purport. While taking Devayani's out of the well, King Yayati must certainly have appreciated her youthful beauty, and therefore he might have asked her which caste she belonged to. Thus, Devayani would have immediately replied, we are already married because you have accepted my hand. Uniting the hands of the bride and bridegroom is a system perpetually existing in all societies. Therefore, as soon as Yayati accepted Devayani's hand, they could be regarded as married. Because Devayani was enamored with the hero Yayati, she requested him not to change his mind and let another come to marry her. Om Ganatamarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmaye Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakaramayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shta Shri Rupam Sakajatam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Kam Shta He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jyatate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Apta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwe Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Adepiye Vanchakopa Truvishta Kipa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavi Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasari Vora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're reading this particular section of the Bhagavatam, talking about King Yayati, especially about Devayani. And now they have met. In a very awkward situation, perhaps, where she was at a great disadvantage, a very difficult situation, very embarrassing situation, and the king has now rescued her in that situation where she was left by her friend to suffer. Due to some quarrel, due to some argument and mistake. On reading this section, one of the first things came to my mind is these descriptions sound somewhat mundane, perhaps like some soap opera, if you pardon the expression, where there's just some interaction between young girls, quarreling, fighting, and then some romantic exchange, developing love at first sight, whatever you want to call it. So the question is, what is Shukadev Goswami, the great brahmachari, self-realized soul, doing describing this whole incident? And why would King Parikshit, who is in his last days in this material world, have any interest in hearing about it? Not being the very advanced, to me it's a little bewildering. Does anyone have any thoughts or ideas why this would be put in here like this? Yes. And does this show his great devotion?
Well, not really, but I mean, the way, we can't really compare that to soap opera, because according to the Vedic system, if you hold a girl by her right hand, it's like, I think I read it somewhere that it stated that, well, Devayani also mentioned that, you hold a girl by her right hand, you have to marry her. That's part of the religious system.
Hmm. Yes, well, you have some thought?
when Yudhisthira had asked, what is the will of the Lord? He had asked Maharaja, Bhishma. He said, so this question that you're asking is quite similar to his question. Like, who can understand how Krishna sets one thing up to put another thing into place? Just like when he was in this battle crew, etc., who can understand Krishna's will? So this is also part of how this whole material nature interacts with the spiritual nature, how things are brought about in a particular sequence. Like I think Mother Narottara Gopal explained it so nicely yesterday by giving us a continuation of one story to the next story, of how one thing connects to the next thing, and you start to see this wonderful dance of destiny of Krishna, how with his wonderful intelligence, he has one activity lead up to another activity. There's different qualities, 64 qualities. There's clever and genius, how he can do more than one thing at one time. Mm-hmm. So there's unlimited things being done, and we see one part of it, and the purports, they give us another part according to our own realization and affection for Krishna at the time. One sees Krishna's hand in everything and how he does that. So in the Bhagavatam, presenting this is part of another story, which is part of another story, which is part of another story, the lineage, how one personality, another, the dynasties of all these different dynasties came about. So these little intricacies, just like in our everyday life, there's little things that we just take for granted, but it's always a part of a giant machinery that Krishna has, this vibrant energy. That's
okay. Yes, Vyasa.
Well, what's in my mind about that, because every story in Srimad Bhagavatam, it has a particular lesson. So after that, we'll read later that this Yayati will think that he got, met she got, and started to love in a relationship. So it brings disappointment after that. So every time, every story in Srimad Bhagavatam brings disappointment. Mm-hmm. So Parikshit Maharaj will understand the duality of material world and will be renounced easily.
Disappointment, yes, that's very good.
saying. Lakshmi,
wasn't it mentioned yesterday that the son of Yayati and Devayani was Yadu?
Yes.
The origin of the Yadu dynasty, which comes into play, you know, significantly later on in Krishna Lila. So there's 10 stages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're seeing stage after stage here what is going on. And particularly in this instance, because they are, Devayani and Yayati are the origin of Yadu, who is the origin of the Yadu dynasty, who participates intimately in Krishna Lila.
Okay. Very good. So, these are all very excellent insights and points. Naturally, I would think that Maharaj Pariksit, being a great king himself, is interested in the history of his forefathers. And to see Yadu, obviously, and therefore Yayati, were great personalities, very worshipable by him. And so it's all connected with Krishna, as you pointed out. And as others pointed out, there is some lessons to be learned here. We can see sequence of events. It starts out here as some developing material affection. And Devyani's caught in a compromising situation. She's here. Something's got to happen because she was cursed due to a previous connection with some other Brahmin. So yes, destiny is playing a particular strong role here. At the same time, there's this natural attraction that's happening. But isn't good going to be the end of it? Because the whole story unfolds in a much more involved and incredible way. Now Devayani complains to her father, some instant so many girlfriends have to go with her to when she's married to Yayati, and they have, my understanding, she'll have no husband, Sarmista, and not allowed to have any children, therefore, with Yayati. How that gets broken, curses on Yayati, back and forth, it's very complicated. And sometimes I think we may also see, perhaps our lives seem a little bit of a complicated path. Our life, even though we're trying to be devotees, seem to take not a straight path back to Godhead, but sometimes goes here and there, a few bends in the road. Especially when we're trying to advise and help others, we can see that specifically. You know, you think, oh, I will just help them this way, and then all the obstacles will be cleared. They will be able to go right back on the path straight to Godhead. But it doesn't happen that way. Life is much more complex. There's a lot more things in the heart. King Yayati here is a great personality. Yet, as we'll read here, he seems to be infected with lust in a certain level. Of course, we should not think he's like us. He's not ordinary like us. He's a great king. He's a great Rajrishi. He has a great lineage that will come from him. Krishna doesn't come in just anybody's, just sitting in a line of heredity. He comes in a certain line, and that line has a certain high quality to it. Not an ordinary situation. So, anyway, we can see these situation is unfolding here, and it is perhaps a little bit interesting to hear the, let's say, almost mundane quality going on here. So as I was preparing for the class, I just trying to get a little bit of further insight about what Prabhupada might say about these particular incidents. So to give us a little perspective, I saw something he said in Montreal in June of 1968. He said the following: so the original platform that I am not the body, this body, then every relationship becomes false, illusion. That is, this is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how this illusion develops. Illusion develops because it is the kingdom of Maya. Maya is attracting us. What is that attracting force? The attracting force is for man, woman, and for woman, man. This is attractive. So here we're seeing this happening right here. The whole world is going on, not only in human society, but in dog society, cat society, hog society, bird society, everywhere. Woman is attracted for man, and man is attracted for woman. This is Maya. This is Maya. So Srimad Bhagavatam says that this attractive feature is pulling on this material existence. Therefore, the training is how to detract. In the beginning, the brahmacharya is given, brahmacharya training is given to know that this body, woman body, is not actually attractive. What is attractive? This is made of flesh and blood. Similarly for woman, if I analyze the man's body or woman's, what is it there? Flesh and blood. But that flesh and blood, is it very attractive? That story perhaps I have enunciated, that the beauty was kept in a pot. You remember that one? I may repeat the story again, that one girl was very beautiful and the boy was after him, after her. But in India, boys and girls are not allowed to mix freely unless they are husband and wife. So that seems quite clear in this story. We can see a different standard. Nowadays, people, they don't follow this standard. Boys and girls are talking freely. Can you imagine the first time you touch some girl's hand, that means you married her? Wow. Whole society would be totally changed. So this girl was married, but she was not very rich. But that boy was very rich, and he was after her. And he was always proposing to her. And she became perplexed. He is a rich man, but if I don't agree, he may do some harm to my husband, to me. So she made a plan. All right, I'll agree to your proposal. You come to my house in such and such night, and I'll be engaged with you. So he was very eager. In the meantime, she took some strong purgative pill. And for 6-7 days, she simply purged out all the beauty in vomiting and passing stool. So those vomits and stools were kept in two pots. And naturally, if you pass stool for one day, your feature will be immediately ugly. That is fact. So she passed stool and vomiting 7 days. Naturally, she became very ugly. So when the boy came, she was sitting there on the door, and the boy asked, "Where is such and such girl?" She said, "Oh, yes, I am here." "No, no, you're not her. Oh, she is so beautiful, and you are so ugly." "No, I am the same girl. Why have you become so ugly?" "Ah, because I have extracted my beauty." "Where is that?" "Just see these two pots. So if you like, you can enjoy this beauty." So Prabhupada instructs us like this. This is the beauty in the material world. If I understand how it is simply a combination of blood, stool, and urine, intestines, muscles, skin, hair, and nails, then I study philosophically. So what is there? Have I got any attraction for all these things? No. So it is all false. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Chaito Darpana Marjanam, that if we clarify our heart, then we become liberated. So this is the Hare Krishna chanting process. It's clarifying. So Srila Prabhupada particularly then is explaining that this is Maya acting, this attraction. And though the attraction is very strong on the bodily platform, if we can philosophically analyze it, it is not very good. Not very good at all, because is attracted to something that is ultimately very repulsive. But superficially, on the surface, it appears very attractive. It appears that there's something there that is very worthwhile, very pleasurable. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam is speaking here about this attraction. But there's a particular word combination here, prema nirbharaya, saturated with love and kindness, great kindness. So those terms, when I read them, they immediately struck me as like, these terms are usually applied to devotees' feelings towards the Supreme Lord, his bhakti, which is a totally different purpose, which is what we're trying to develop by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, where we're going towards the 10th canto, the descriptions of Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, his intimate Leela of loving exchanges with his devotees. And there, Krishna is also beautiful. But as Prabhupada said in 1966 in New York, yesterday I explained that God's one qualification is that he has all beauty. So he has all the beauty. Aishvarasya, Samagrasya, Virasya, Yashasya, Shriya. From the Vishnu Purana. Shriya means beauty. So when he was 16 years old, so in the village, he had many friends, girlfriends, who were the same age, but girls are all married. So in those days, they were married at the age of 12, 13, and Krishna was only 16. But he was playing the flute, and his flute playing was so nice that even at night, when he was playing the flute, all those girls, they leave their husbands, their father, their mother, everything. They'll come at once to Krishna. So this is an example of how they don't care for anything but Krishna. But Krishna's beauty is so fantastic that even from this a picture, we get an idea how beautiful Krishna is. So we have great artists here like Pushkar who help us see that beauty of Krishna. And all the gopis in Vrindavan, they were all attracted to Krishna. Krishna at the age of 15 or 16, naturally at that time, boys are very beautiful. Any man, even, was very beautiful. So he was very beautiful. And all the gopis prayed to Yogamaya, my dear mother, please give me Krishna as my husband. So they were praying like this, and Krishna fulfilled their desires. So here, this is a natural progression. Devayani didn't want some illicit connection. It is so commonly spoken about and present in our modern society. She only wanted to be connected with Gayati by marriage. She didn't say, oh, let's go somewhere and enjoy now. Well, I'm beautiful and you are handsome. No, she wanted to be married to him and to let no one else touch her. So, there's a great sense of morality and proper behavior. And the king also, you'll see, he was a little bit taken back by the proposal because he realized this is not a girl born of a Kshatriya family, so this is not a normal proposal. This is a little unusual. But he agreed. He agreed. We could say perhaps out of a sense of duty, but also mixed with some attraction, obviously. So this kind of level of marriage and how men and women relate is actually a very high structured relation, you know, very moral, high level of personal qualities. And also I find it very instructive, it helps us to understand the residents of Vrindavan. Because the gopis there, many of them were already married, and yet they were attracted to Krishna. in a parakia ras, unmarried love. So nowadays such things seems very easy and ordinary, but in that society, if anything like that happened, one would be totally rejected. Their whole life would be ruined. So it was a very forbidden thing. And the gopis were able to, by their love and devotion, transcend that boundary and accept all criticism just to please Krishna. So these are some of the thoughts and insights from this verse. And I encourage you all to share with us some of yours further so that we can try to milk the Srimad Bhagavatam and get out the highest understanding, take us deeper in our devotion to Krishna. So does anyone have any comment or question?
Interesting. The story of Yayati is very long and deep. I mean, we just get a little spark in Srimad Bhagavatam. I think he actually went to the heavenly planet with his same body, self-same body. He was a very pious king. He had four great sons. Shibi, I think, was one. And when he was in the heavenly planet, one time he was cast down for some little mistake he made. But because of the pieties of his sons, and he had a daughter called Madhavi, he sent him back to the heavenly planet. Madhavi had a special boon that even if she goes to one, she marries one man, after that, she would regain her virginity. See, so there was a, four kings that went to Yayati for Dan. And at that time his wealth was very low. He gave Madhavi to these kings, and each one of them would marry her in different times. You know, it's a great story really. But the point is that he was very exalted really. He also spread Bhagavad Dharma trophy, the word. You know? And so he was very exalted. But of course, just we know the famous story where he became very, very corned with sense gratification. See, because he enjoyed for quite a long time, and then he realized. He also made a great statement: no matter how much women you have, you would never be satisfied. You know, that was a great statement.
Yes, he had that realization finally that even though he took his son's youth to continue enjoying with his wife, that after some time, he described his relationship with her as a he-goat and a she-goat. Simply sense gratification. And the position of the king is such that he has great facility for sense gratification. Lord Chaitanya came to Jagannath Puri, among other things, to make King Pratyaparudra devotee. But when Pratyaparudra wanted to meet Lord Chaitanya, he refused. He said, if you ask me again, I'll leave the city. And devotees continually went behalf of Pratyaparudra trying to convince Lord Chaitanya. He said, for me to see such a worldly-minded person is like death. I'm ruined. So he saw that a king has such a facility for sense gratification. He's absorbed like this. So it's a very different maybe than we have. Our situation, like, we have very limited facility for sense gratification. But you're the king, you could have anything, anyone, anywhere, anytime you wanted. He had such wealth, such power. And also I think he had good features, good intelligence, many attractive qualities. So when a person like that is able to renounce, that means he has some realization. Other questions? You had some questions or comments? Oh, I'm sorry. Aditi.
I don't know where I read it, but somewhere Prabhupada was talking about the Parakeya Ras, and he was saying the gopis, their bodies were in bed with their husbands, but their spirit, their soul, was with Krishna. So Prabhupada was saying we should be careful, you know, how we think of this. I don't know if anybody else has something to add on that, but I was kind of, it was kind of like a little bit of a shock to realize their bodies were there, but their spirit, their soul, had gone to Krishna. Because somebody might misunderstand that we're promoting
Yes. The pastimes of Krishna, especially with the gopis, are very easily misunderstood, especially by those with mundane intelligence, mundane entanglements. And to understand the nature of their full surrender to the Lord is also very difficult without proper guidance. Such that Uddhava was sent by Lord Krishna to Vrindavan to learn the limits of bhakti from the gopis. Uddhava was the, I believe he was disciple of Brihaspati, and he was very, very advanced devotee. He couldn't live without being connected with Krishna for a moment. He would wear his clothes, wear his garlands, his jewelry, take only his remnants. So attached to Krishna. But his bhakti was inferior to that of the gopis. Yes, Guru.
One of the other aspects that I've been able to notice in this is that you can see that even amongst these incredibly wonderful souls that are mentioned in the Bhagavatam, there's these situations that one could judge him with, and that it doesn't make sense to judge these great souls, that because there's a plan and action, Krishna is doing different things at different times, we can extract out, as you pointed out, that how the material energy can be engaged in bringing the outcome of these different activities for the next scene to be set. So for the same way, devotees, they can imbibe that same idea and become free from, you know, fault finding, which is a problem with the offenses and judging, and see that Krishna's plan is going through that, and see the good qualities that's always being pointed out here of these great souls, and these different apparently setbacks are setting the scene for the next performance and the different things to take place, and see that Krishna's interacting with everyone and he has his plan. So when you judge, as you're comparing them to someone else, and each person's an individual with his Krishna.
Yes, when we criticize, the tendency is that we are trying to compare ourselves and think ourselves better than someone else. If you really want to put a stop, a block on your bhakti, criticize devotees. That's the quickest way. And we've seen it in this movement. Some people like to criticize, especially the advanced preachers. Immediately they become diverted into all kinds of crazy philosophies and thoughts and personal problems. Because we cannot understand what's going on in that devotee's life, where he's at, what he has to do next, what lessons he has to learn, nor could we live their life. We could not live their life. Their life is different than ours. They have different good qualities and different faults to overcome. So each one has to struggle on his own path to go back to Godhead. And if we're all in a very positive, uplifting, encouraging relationships, then it makes our society very powerful, a place where everyone is encouraged and uplifted. So the more we can become free from those faults, the more we become actually able to help others and help ourselves. or perhaps well, not to say something about for sure.
Another thing about the Bhagavatam, particularly in relationship to Prabhupada's purports, is relevancy. That these are just not stories or whatever, but actually there's all relevant application if you look at it. Like, for instance, the purport, Narataka was joking yesterday. She said that they told me to defend the women as a result of the purport of Srila Prabhupada, where he said that this tendency has gone on for thousands and thousands of years. But the way I took it was, and other purports by Prabhupada that may appear controversial, is that Prabhupada is pointing out tendencies. I mean, the Vedic philosophy in particular gives us deep insight to what our tendencies are, and either through relevant statements made by the acharyas or Ayurveda or Jyotir, any one of these things gives us a little insight into our tendencies. And to me, that just helps us to understand which way we can go. Even in this particular purport and a series of verses, it mentions that they're not of the same caste. And what's the relevancy of that? It's that a Kshatriya is different than a Brahmin. They have different tendencies, you know, innately. So, you know, all these things combinedly, whether it be caste, and of course we're not so much of caste, particularly in Western culture, but, you know, in terms of what our own, if we can look into our own hearts and understand what our own tendencies are, and as practitioners of bhakti, we know what, we can pinpoint what our particular deficiencies are, and, you know, kind of stay away from situations that may serve as an impediment to our bhakti, you know. And I think that, I always try to look at Prabhupada's purports from that angle too, because the philosophy is relevant to, it is alive, it's dynamic, and it's relevant to us here and now if we look at it, you know, from that perspective. So like anuloma marriage means that a man of a lower caste marries a woman of a higher caste, because their tendencies are going to be different. And you know, if a woman has a tendency, a gender tendency, so to speak, to get into a cat fight, or a man has a gender tendency to be the overlord, and then, you know, we boil it down more specifically, am I more prone, as my mindset, am I more prone to criticize people, devotees in particular, and what the result is that going to be, what situation I place myself in that will bring out that tendency. So I think from a relevancy perspective also, we should view the Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada's purports.
Yes, and just to dwell on that just for a second, she's from a Brahmin family, so she has different training, different culture, different habits than a Kshatriya, which is here. So how that will mix in the family, you know, she'll want to train the children Brahminically because that's what she knows. You'll want them to be trained as Kshatriyas, fighting, martial arts, and all the qualities of a leader. Two different mixes there. Nowadays, very common, people mix everything. You know, caste, color, creed, everything. There's no rules anymore. You know? And it's, I remember in my family, my father was a Catholic, my mother was a Lutheran. So the fact that they would mix like that was considered a great unusual thing. But again, they're both Christians. But nowadays, it doesn't matter, you know, Muslim will marry who knows whatever, and Buddhist, Christian, they all mix different colors, different poor with rich, and educated with uneducated. It's just a hodgepodge. And the result is very, also has to be considered. Not always good. You can read other places that these mixtures, I think it's been pointed out before, these mixtures are not always good. They come, some of the lower castes of society come from some of these mixtures. So, and I know I also like, just have to point out my own fault here. And Prabhupada said, King Yayati must certainly have appreciated her youthful beauty, and there he, for he might have asked her, I was going to fill in the blank, what caste she belonged to. I was like, well, that doesn't seem to fit, but he was thinking in a particular way. And obviously, I suppose what's indicated, he was thinking towards, is she a suitable person for me to marry? So, anyways, very interesting how Prabhupada can try to correct our mentalities. All right, maybe we should end here. Jai Al Guru Srila Bhagavatam, Al Guru Srila Prabhupada.